that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. 20 years ago, President Bill Clinton addressed the people of the United States with respect to his being unfaithful to his wife. He had for months denied the allegation, but he finally publicly admitted it. In his address to the people, he confessed, "Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part for which I am solely and completely responsible." Clinton, having admitted his fault, asked the people to turn their attention to more important matters. Jacoba Jurist, in his essay, The Art and Science of Apologizing, wrote, "On paper, Clinton's words appear contrite and confessional. Yet, nearly two decades later, many who study the psychology of apologies view the address as a four-minute primer on how not to apologize for something." Recently, the Oxford English Dictionary added an entry for the term non-apology. A non-apology is a failure or refusal to apologize. Now frequently a statement that takes the form of an apology, but does not acknowledge responsibility or express regret for what has caused offense or upset. An insincere or unconvincing apology. In our post-Christian culture, people do not know how to apologize. They do not know how to apologize because they are not sorry for wrongdoing. That is, they are not repentant. Repentance is necessary for forgiveness. The sinner cannot be forgiven if he admits no wrongdoing. St. John wrote, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When King Solomon dedicated the temple to God, he prayed for the people in case they would sin against him and be taken captive by enemies. He asked God to forgive them if they would confess. "We have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly." On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter told the crowds, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Repentance is confession of sin. However, it is far more than simple agreement that one has sinned. Repentance is sorrow for sin. After the prophet Nathan confronted King David about his sin, David wrote the 51st Psalm to express his repentance. In it he wrote, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Repentance is not merely a matter of the mind. It is a matter of the heart. In King Solomon's prayer of dedication of the temple, he asked that God would forgive the people when they sinned if they would return to him with all their heart and all their soul. The prophet Jeremiah lamented over the rebellion of Israel, and he prayed to God, "Lord, Are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. In repentance, the sinner is not merely sorry. Repentance is not simply wishing that one had done differently. The repentant sinner feels more than regret. He is remorseful. He grieves over his sin. He grieves over it because he has offended God, whom he loves, and because he has offended his neighbor, whom he loves. The test of true repentance is turning from sin to good works. It is righting the wrongs. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God told the people of Israel, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" When the prophet Jonah preached to the city of Nineveh its destruction for its wickedness, the king of Nineveh properly repented. The scriptures tell us he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. He not only repented, but he also issued a decree that all the people should repent. And in his decree he commanded, "Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" The scriptures tell us that God saw their works, how they changed their ways, and so he changed his mind about destroying the city. When the crowds came to John the Baptist to be baptized by him, he told them that baptism was not sufficient to save them. They needed to repent. When they asked him what they should do, he told them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." He told the tax collectors, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." He told the soldiers, "Do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." He told the soldiers not to extort money from people, not to bear false witness, and to be content with what they were paid. The fruit of a true repentance is stopping doing what is wrong and starting doing what is right. Bill Clinton, not long after his public apology, attended the White House prayer breakfast. There he addressed 100 religious leaders. He said to them, "I agree with those who have said that in my first statement, after I testified, I was not contrite enough. I don't think there is a fancy way to say that I have sinned. I believe that to be forgiven, more than sorrow is required. At least two more things. First, genuine repentance, a determination to change and to repair breaches of my own making. I have repented. Second, what my Bible calls a broken spirit, an understanding that I must have God's help to be the person that I want to be, a willingness to give the very forgiveness I seek, a renunciation of the pride and anger which cloud judgment, lead people to excuse and compare and to blame and complain." Whether or not Bill Clinton truly repented, God only knows. However, he certainly was right about what it means to repent. If one is not truly sorry for his sin, then he does not understand the weight of it. He does not understand the holiness of God and how God abhors sin. He does not understand the value of his fellow man who is made in the image of God. He has become callous to sin, and he ought to ask God to soften his heart and to make him sensitive to sin. If he has difficulty turning from his sin to good works, then he ought to ask God for help, for he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.